This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Chandler Halderson? Chandler Michael Halderson was born on March 15, 1998. In the summer of 2021, 23-year-old Chandler lived with his 50-year-old father, Bart, and his 53-year-old mother, Krista, in Windsor, Wisconsin, which is just north of Madison. Chandler had a girlfriend named Catherine Mellender, who went by the name Kat. For some time, Chandler had been perpetuating a number of lies. He claimed that he had an internship with a company named American Family Insurance. Chandler pretended that there was some type of problem to explain why he wasn't being paid. He claimed that he enrolled in an IT program at Madison Area Technical College, also known as MATC, and he told his parents that he would soon be starting a job at SpaceX, the aerospace manufacturer started by Elon Musk. Apparently, he told other lies to different people, including that he was a police scuba diver. Instead of working, being a student, and I guess being a future astronaut or something, Chandler spent his days playing video games. He had attended MATC starting in the spring of 2018. Over the next couple of years, he withdrew from several classes and failed others. By the fall of 2020, he was completely out of the college. Chandler created email accounts and pretended that they were from various representatives at the college and the insurance company. He sent emails back and forth and argued with these imaginary people he created. All the emails were sent from his IP address, and those email accounts never sent emails to anyone else. So they were highly dedicated imaginary friends. On June 29, 2021, Chandler's father, Bart, called a representative from the college to find out why he could not get Chandler's transcript. Bart was upset because he believed the college was cheating his son. He was informed that Chandler owed the college about $2,000. He was not a student in the IT program, and three people Chandler claimed he was talking to from the college did not work there. Bart scheduled a meeting at the college for July 1. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. Starting at 7:26 a.m. on July 1, Chandler sent a number of text messages to his girlfriend, Kat. He indicated he did not sleep the night before. He said things have not been going well. He had a plan for a great future, but it was falling apart. At 1:03 p.m., he sent a text message to Kat saying that he overheard his parents might be going to their cabin with their friends. At 2:10 p.m., Bart sent a text message to Chandler saying, "I'm ready whenever you are," perhaps referencing the meeting at the college. Instead of going to the meeting, Chandler shot his father in the back two or three times using an SKS rifle that he had received from a friend only 2 weeks earlier. Chandler sent his mother, Krista, a text message indicating that his father's phone was dead and requesting that Krista get him soda on her way home. Krista arrived home at 5:10 p.m. It is believed that Chandler shot her immediately, probably two or three times, although her cause of death was never determined. 1 minute later, at 5:11 p.m., Chandler created a list on a mobile device containing a variety of entries, including hydrogen peroxide, door handles, move stuff upstairs, get a job, and clean the floor. Starting at 7:49 p.m., he communicated via FaceTime with his girlfriend while he was standing in the shower. At 8:16 p.m., he left the residence and drove to a convenience store. He purchased 20 pounds of ice. It's believed he put his parents in a freezer. At some point that evening, a neighbor smelled something burning. He described it as pungent and like a pig roast. Surveillance cameras showed that Chandler's fireplace was burning throughout the night. On July 2, at 7:02 a.m., Chandler drove to a store and purchased a tarp. He sent text messages to his girlfriend requesting cleaning supplies. His girlfriend spent the night with Chandler in his house. On July 3, at 7:47 a.m., Chandler drove to the town of Roxbury. His mother's legs would later be found in that area. After 10 p.m., he drove to another rural area. On July 4, Chandler spent time with his girlfriend and her family. He sent a text message from his mother's phone, trying to make it look like she was at the family cabin with Bart. When her phone transmitted this message, it was in the Halderson family home. That night, Chandler's girlfriend once again stayed over. On July 5, Chandler pretended to go to a physician's appointment. Later that day, he spent time at his girlfriend's mother's home in Cottage Grove. Bart's torso would later be found nearby, as well as tools covered with the blood of both Bart and Krista. Throughout the early morning hours of July 6, the fireplace in the Halderson family home was once again burning. Chandler contacted the police and reported his parents missing on July 7. He said that during the early morning hours of July 1, his parents were picked up by an unknown acquaintance. They had the intention of traveling to the family cabin in White Lake, Wisconsin. Chandler said he received a text message from his mother on July 4, indicating they arrived at White Lake. His parents were planning on attending a parade that same day. The police discovered that there was no parade, and Chandler's parents had never arrived at the cabin. The next day, July 8, Chandler made a number of internet searches starting at 9:44 a.m. This was before any body parts were discovered. Here are the terms he searched for: body found Wisconsin, woman's body found in Wisconsin, Wisconsin dismembered body found, dead body found in Wisconsin, body found in the Milwaukee River, 2021. After 3 p.m., he searched the term Bart and Krista. Chandler was arrested that same day after the remains of his parents were discovered. He was charged in connection with their murders. In January of 2022, Chandler was convicted of 2 counts of first-degree intentional homicide, 2 counts of providing false information about a missing person, 2 counts of mutilating a corpse, and 2 counts of hiding a corpse. At the time making this video, he has not been sentenced, but the mandatory sentence for the murder convictions is life in prison. At the upcoming sentencing hearing, the attorneys will be able to argue whether Chandler will ever be eligible for parole.
Science! 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 Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Mm. Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Amy.
And hi, true crime fans.
We're the co-hosts of She Goes by Jane. Every week, we'll be covering the story of a missing or unidentified woman in the United States.
Stories you may have heard before.
And ones whose stories didn't make it into the news.
We've been covering these stories for a while. First in Amy's book of poetry, Doe.
And then in Vanessa's documentary, She.
But now we want to share them with you here on She Goes by Jane.
And each week we'll be joined by a special guest who will read a poem in honor of the women we talk about. Can we say who?
We can say who. We'll be joined by actresses like Coco Jones and Gabrielle Ruiz.
And musicians like Stephanie Quayle and Kelly Moneymaker, along with authors like Louise Penny
and Catherine McKenzie.
So check out She Goes by Jane wherever you get your podcasts, or check out Evergreen Podcasts and their true crime channel, Killer Podcasts.
We can't wait to bring you these stories.
Now moving to my analysis. Was Chandler Halderson actually guilty? Let's look at the factors both for and against the idea of guilt, starting with the inculpatory evidence. Both his parents were murdered, and their remains were found in various places around Wisconsin, including in the fireplace of the Halderson family residence and in rural areas that Chandler visited around the time of the murders. In the basement of the Halderson family home, a number of items were recovered, including a bullet covered in Bart's DNA, blood from both Bart and Krista, and a case that had been in Chandler's rifle when the cartridge was discharged. The blood of Chandler's parents was found on his shoes, the fireplace, an axe, a freezer, and on the tarp that he bought at the store on July 2. The tarp was found near one of the disposal sites. It also contained Chandler's fingerprint. Chandler's rifle was found near where his father's torso was found. Surveillance cameras on neighboring houses completely covered the area around the Halderson family home. His parents were never seen leaving the house. Krista's phone was found wrapped in aluminum foil in a shoe under a shelf. Chandler made internet searches about bodies in Wisconsin. He asked his girlfriend for cleaning supplies. He created a to-do list that included cleaning the floor and buying hydrogen peroxide. Chandler acted suspiciously for days. As far as motive, Chandler told a number of lies leading up to the murders. His father had uncovered some of the deception, and his mother was about to find out. Moving to the exculpatory evidence, there are no witnesses to the murders and no video. Chandler had no criminal history. The time of death for Bart and Krista was never determined, and Krista's cause of death is not known. That's about it for exculpatory evidence. There really isn't an alternate theory of the crime. When considering all the evidence, do I think that Chandler was guilty? There is virtually no doubt that he's guilty. This is one of the few cases that can really be characterized as having overwhelming evidence of guilt. Chandler's public defender did try to help him. During the closing arguments, which lasted only about 30 minutes, she admitted that Chandler lied all the time. She tried to say those lies didn't really matter. All young people lie to their parents. She said she believed the state had proven some of the charges against Chandler. She tried to argue that perhaps there was no premeditation for the murders, so this was not intentional homicide. It was some other type of homicide. She suggested that perhaps it was an accident. The accidental shooting defense is possible when there is one victim who was shot one time. But this case featured two victims, one of whom was shot multiple times. Most of the time when a victim is accidentally shot and killed, the perpetrator does not dismember their body and scatter their parts all over the area. I guess one could argue that Chandler shot his father accidentally, and then his mother came home and slipped on some of Chandler's imaginary scuba diving gear or something. It's just difficult to find any scenario where Chandler is not guilty. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Chandler Halderson was impulsive, reckless, self-centered, grandiose, arrogant, and overconfident. On his LinkedIn profile, he listed one of his abilities as critical thinking skills. Chandler wanted to be successful, but he did not have the corresponding work ethic. He desperately wanted people to believe that he was important and special. In particular, he wanted to impress his parents. Somehow, he thought that impersonating a scuba diving SpaceX employee was the best way, which kind of validates any concerns his parents may have had about his abilities. He wasn't even good at making up believable lies. Chandler hoped that he could keep up the charade forever, but his father figured out that something was going on. Chandler knew that his mother would soon know as well. She may have already known. Either way, Chandler was full of shame. Killing his parents was his way of escaping that shame and building a new future for himself, so he could get back to his plan of becoming successful. He overestimated his intelligence and believed he could outsmart law enforcement. He tried all different ways of disposing of his parents' bodies, but left behind a substantial quantity of evidence. I think he would have been convicted of this crime even if his parents' bodies were never recovered. He just left behind too much physical evidence at the house, and of course digital evidence with those search terms. Now moving to my final thoughts. Between the murders and his arrest, a few people became nervous or frightened around Chandler. So people who interacted with him during that time noticed that something was off. They could sense that his behavior was unusual, and they were concerned that he was dangerous. This intuition is a valuable life-saving feeling that should never be dismissed. Bart and Krista probably did not have this intuition because Chandler was their son. So they may have had it about other people, but he was immune. They figured that he was safe to be around. They wanted what was best for him and always thought well of him. Chandler was able to use this against them in an ultimate betrayal. His best chance of being successful was through his relationship with his parents. He not only destroyed them, he destroyed his future.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Introduce you to Barry Clue, an authorised financial advisor from New Zealand and a very special kind of stain on humanity.
He was a very knowledgeable young guy.
He was a registered financial advisor.
Type of guy that was bending over backwards to help you.
Now, you could be forgiven for thinking that Barry sounds like a great guy, and you'd be right. Well, right up until the point when you're wrong.
It was all fictitious.
You stole from my son, who has a disability.
Chris never knew. He died believing that we're all taken care of.
A psychopath is somebody who lacks empathy, acts impulsively. I think there's a strong case that Barry might be all of those things, actually.
To find out how Barry Clue stole over $15 million from 81 victims, subscribe to Clueless, The Long Con. That's Clueless, spelt K-L-O-O-G-H-L-E-S-S.